And Maryam alayhi salam says, قالت أن يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أكو بغية. Maryam alayhi salam says, how can I bear a son? How can I bear a son? And now we see the similarities between this story and the story of Zakariya alayhi salam. So she says, how can I bear a son when no man has touched me and I'm not an unchaste woman? So she's showing amazement at the fact that she doesn't have, you know, she doesn't have a husband, no one has touched her, yet how is it possible that she can bear a son? قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا. The angel replies, so shall it be. Again, very similar, almost exactly the same words in the beginning of this verse as verse number 9 that we read in the story of Zakariya alayhi salam. The angel replied, so shall it be. Your Lord says, this is an easy thing for me to do, and we will do so in order to make that boy a sign. A sign for the people and a blessing from us, and this must happen. فَحَمَلَتْهُ فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا. Accordingly, Maryam alayhi salam conceives the child, and with it, she goes away to a distant place.
فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا.
Then the labor pains bring her to the trunk of a date palm tree, and there she begins to cry. And she says, oh, would that I had died before this and had been something gone and something forgotten. At that point, she screams out and cries that I wish I had died before this and I would have been something forgotten and this would have never happened.
فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا.
Then he called from beneath her, saying, grieve not at all, for your Lord has set a spring under you.
وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطَ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا.
For your food, shake the trunk of this tree and fresh ripe dates will fall down for you.
فَكُلِي وَاشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنًا فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا فَلَنُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا.
So eat and drink and refresh your eyes, and if you see a human being, say to him, as I have vowed to observe the fast of silence for the sake of the merciful, I will not speak to anyone today. So Maryam alayhi salam, after being informed of this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shows amazement, and she says that no man has touched me and I'm not a fornicator. So how is this possible? How is this going to happen? I don't understand. Source of amazement, a sense of amazement, just as Zakariya alayhi salam had when he was informed of the coming birth of Yahya alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a response in the same way, and he says that this is something that is easy for me. He says that this is something that is easy for me. It requires no effort on my part. And this is something I can do. Sorry, I'm just should have numbered these pages. Okay. This is an easy thing for me to do, and we will do so in order to make that boy a sign for the people. A sign for the people and a blessing from us, and this must happen. So what is the sign now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about? So first of all, the miraculous birth. Right? So the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salam is the first sign. Secondly, in the Quran we find number of examples of the miracles that Isa alayhi salam was granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All prophets, you know, it's a part of prophethood, at one time or the other they would have some sort of miracle to show for. And Isa alayhi salam had a number of them. For example, his birth, his speaking in the cradle, which we'll just read about shortly, curing the blind, curing those who had leprosy, bringing the dead back to life, being able to put life into a bird that was made out of clay, and so on. So these are all miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Quran. So we notice the similarities between this and the story of Zakariya alayhi salam. So then Maryam alayhi salam goes to a distant place, and this distant place has been discussed by the scholars as to what exactly what place she went to. Some have said that it was just east, because it says Makan and Sharqiyya in the beginning, in the seclusion, and for this purposes as well, they say that she went to a location that was just east of the Baytul Maqdis. Others say that it was a place between Syria and Egypt. And finally, there are other scholars who say that it was a place called Bayt al-Laham, which in English is Bethlehem, and is known as the place of birth of Isa alayhi salam. So it's possible, you could say it's likely that it was probably Bethlehem or Bayt al-Laham. The labor pains, well, before we get into that, let's remember that she's alone. Right? She's alone. This is a totally new experience for her. She has no one there to help her, and she has never gone through this experience before in terms of labor and delivering a child. So she goes to the trunk of a date palm tree to rest beside it, to lean onto it. And at this point, not having anyone to give her company, she is completely exhausted. She's completely exhausted from the pain. And the conventional methods that were available even at that time to ease the pain are nowhere to be found. And at the same time, she's also worried and she's sad. And the reason why she's worried and she's sad is because she's concerned, she's afraid of what's going to happen next. Because she knows she hasn't done anything wrong. She knows she hasn't asked for this. This has come on its own from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But she also knows, or she's very well afraid, that when she goes back to her people with the child, because until now she was concealing her pregnancy and nobody knew that she was pregnant. But now when they're going to see her with a child, what are they going to say about her? And what sort of blame and accusations are they going to put upon her? So thereupon, out of sadness and out of despair, she thinks about this and she wishes for death. So this was basically her moment of weakness, you could say, where, you know, she had tried to be patient, she had tried to persevere, but now it was at the point where she was upset, she was sad, and she says that, you know, I wish that I had died before this, and then in that case, you know, it would be something gone, something forgotten, nobody would know about this. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves in a situation, right? We find ourselves in a situation in which we don't want to be in, and we think, okay, how in the world did I get into this mess? Right? And you just wish that somehow, you know, time could go back, or somehow you could just undo everything you've done, and then, you know, everything would be clean again. So Maryam alayhi salam has similar types of feelings, and she just wishes that she had died, and that would have been better. Then there is the call from beneath. فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا. So from beneath her, there's a call, أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي. Grieve not at all, do not be sad. Now the commentators of the Qur'an, Mufassirun, have discussed who was this calling from beneath her. So some have said that it was Jibreel alayhi salam, the same angel. Others have said that it was Isa alayhi salam. And because it is known that he spoke very soon after this, that he was speaking to his mother then at that point as well. In any case, what was said to her, don't be sad, grieve not at all. Your Lord has set a spring under you. So don't be worried. Basically, if you think about it, like, okay, she's worried about all these things, so what is the spring going to do for her, even though she might need the water? But in a way, what it signals is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of her. It's a signal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your provisions, your needs, your concerns will be taken care of. So don't grieve, don't be sad. So set a spring under you, and for your food,
for your food, what do you need to do? If you want to eat, you go and you shake the trunk of this tree, and fresh ripe dates will fall down for you. So this was a special blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but more importantly, an important sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was taking care of Maryam alayhi salam. And he says that if anyone asks you, now this is the interesting part, that if anyone asks you, so you're going to go back, right, you're going to go back to your people with this baby that nobody knew about, and you're going to want to know what you've been up to, what happened, but don't worry, just signal to them, or just tell them that you have vowed a fast of silence, and that you're not going to speak to anyone. Right, so now there's two ways to look at this. In a way, we could think about it, we could look at it as a difficult test. Right? Because if someone is being accused of something, right, if you're being incorrectly accused of something, you obviously want to defend yourself. You want to defend yourself and you want to give an explanation. Right? So on the one hand, it's difficult. But on the other hand, another way to look at it is that it was actually too difficult to explain, and that the people wouldn't actually believe her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just told her, you know what? Just don't say anything. So whatever people say to you, whatever they bring up, whatever the accusations they put upon you, don't say anything, no, and I'll take care of it. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that He has everything under control. By the way, we do have refreshments, so like, if you want to take, get a drink or a coffee or tea, whatever it is, by all means do that. So there's this fast of silence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving her the signal that you don't have anything to worry about. People see you, don't see anything. So then what happens? فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئِتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. Then she brought the child to her people and they said, "Oh Maryam, you have come out with something grave indeed. You have come out with something serious, with something grave. يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغيا. O sister of Harun, your father was not a wicked man, nor was your mother an unchaste woman. فأشارت إليه قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا.
So in answer to this, she merely pointed towards the infant, and the people said, "How shall we talk with him? How can we talk to him when he is nothing but an infant in the cradle?" قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. Whereupon the child spoke out, "I am a servant of Allah. He has given me the book and He has appointed me a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. He has made me blessed wherever I may be. He has enjoined upon me to offer salat and give zakat so long as I shall live. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. He has made me dutiful to my mother and He has not made me oppressive and hard-hearted. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وَلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبَعَثُ حَيًّا. Peace be upon me on the day I was born, and peace shall be upon me on the day I die, and on the day I am raised to life." So Maryam alayhi salam finally goes and reveals the child to her people. This is something she was afraid of, something she didn't want to do, and her worst fears come true. And immediately the people see the child and they say, basically what we would say, "Oh my goodness, what have you done?" Or, you know, "You have come out with something grave indeed. What is this? What's going on here?" And to make matters worse, they say, you know, they bring her relationships. "So your father was not a wicked man. Your mother was not an unchaste woman. So what have you done?" Now what needs to be noted here is that the word is shay'an fariyya, something that is fariyya, and has been interpreted as something grave, something serious, something major, like something of something of great magnitude, like something really, really, what's the word I'm looking for? Something grave, serious, or major, I guess that makes the point. Then, now, this is an important part, and there's a discussion about this, that she's referred to as the sister of Harun. Ya Ukhta Harun. Now the problem is, it's not really a problem, but the reason why it needs to be clarified is because Harun alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam were about 1400, 1500 years before the time of Maryam alayhi salam. So who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like, what is meant by Ya Ukhta Harun then? Like, what does it mean, sister of Harun? And this is actually a point that is raised a lot of times by those who don't share our beliefs. And it was actually, in fact, raised to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ as well. And there's a hadith which is narrated by Imam Muslim, as well as Nasa'i and Tirmidhi and others. عن المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنه قال لما قدمت نجران سألوني فقالوا إنكم تقرؤون يا أخت هارون وموسى قبل عيسى بكذا وكذا. So Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu says that when he went to Najran, the Christians of Najran criticized the Quranic version of the story, stating that Maryam alayhi salam being mentioned as a sister of Harun alayhi salam, and that it didn't make sense because there was such a time lapse in between. فَلَمَّا قَدِمْتُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. So Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu says that, well, he didn't know what to say, he didn't know how to respond to that. So when he returned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked him about it. فَقَالَ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَمُّونَ بِأَنْبِيَائِهِمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ قَبْلَهُمْ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied that the Israelis named their children after their prophets and other pious men. So in fact, the Harun that is being mentioned here is not the Prophet Harun alayhi salam. And that's one of the interpretations that have been given. And actually, if you look at ourselves today as well, right? So we're also, what, 1430 odd years away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the time gap is about the same as the distance between Maryam alayhi salam and the Prophet Harun alayhi salam. And today we find that, you know, we like to keep the names of the prophets, we like to keep the names of the pious companions, the pious predecessors. And I'm sure you could find so many Muhammads out there today, right, who have a daughter named Fatima, and so on and so forth, right? So it is something that's not inconceivable. So, and the other thing actually to note as well is that the mention most of the time in the Quran of Harun alayhi salam always comes in relation to Musa alayhi salam as well, right? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the Prophet, it's possible that he would have mentioned Musa alayhi salam as well, but of course this is in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So now the people are asking her and saying, putting these accusations on her indirectly, and she's not allowed to speak. So she points to the child. She points to the child in response, and the child speaks. So Isa alayhi salam speaks, and the people said, you know, how shall we talk with him? He is but an infant in the cradle. Meaning that it is something unconventional. It's something that's not known to happen, that a child will speak from within the cradle. And Isa alayhi salam spoke about several things. Isa alayhi salam, when he spoke about several things. And the most important one, you shouldn't say the most important, but the most notable one is the first thing that he said. The first thing that he said was, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, right? That I am a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا, and that I have been given the book, which is the Injil, the Gospels, and that he is a prophet. And in fact, this is a sort of pre-announcement of his prophethood. It was a pre-announcement that he was going to be a prophet and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with these miracles and these abilities to actually speak and to tell the people about that. He talks about how he is blessed wherever he may be, meaning there's going to be a lot of goodness from him. And as we have seen, a lot of people were able to benefit from Isa alayhi salam in terms of cures and so on. He talks about salah and zakat, that has been enjoined upon him as long as he lives. Now what's important to note, the question might arise that we're talking about salah here for Isa alayhi salam, where we learn that the salah as we know it was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his prophethood, right, in the five times of prayers. So it's important to understand is that prophets were given different laws, different forms of sacred law, different forms of sharia, and the way we pray was certainly given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the form of the salah, the form of the zakah for Isa alayhi salam and for the other prophets could have differed. So it could have been in a different way, and that's why we see, you know, if you go and see the other religions, like I had the opportunity to witness a Jewish prayer service, for example, a Christian, obviously the prayers are very different. They can be, it's possible that they're very different from how they were practiced by the prophets originally, but it's also possible that there's some elements of that are still there. So therefore, there shouldn't be any confusion there. And he notes that he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me beautiful to my mother. And it's important to note that it's mother and not parents. Right? So when it came to Zakariya alayhi salam, there was a mention of parents, of both of them. Here there's a mention of only the mother. And he says that he has not made me oppressive and hard. I always have trouble with this. Hard-hearted. And finally, like Yahya alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam also says that peace will be upon me on the day I was born. Peace shall be upon me on the day I die and on the day that I am raised to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on, ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ. Says this is Isa, the son of Maryam, and this is the truth about him concerning which they are in doubt. مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ أَن يَتَّخِذَ مِن وَلَدٍ سُبْحَانَهُ إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُن فَيَكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is not for Allah to have a son, pure is he. When he decides a thing, he simply says to it be, and it comes to be. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. He says, and say, O Prophet ﷺ, to the people, Allah is surely my Lord and your Lord. So worship Him. This is the straight path. فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ مَشْهَدِ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Then the groups fell into differences among themselves. We will talk about that. So those who adopted the ways of disbelief shall suffer a horrible woe when they witness the great day. أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبَصِرْ يَوْمَ يَأْتُونَنَا لَكِنِ الظَّالِمُونَ الْيَوْمَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. How strong will their hearing be, and how strong their vision the day they will come to us. But today, these transgressors are in clear error. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Warn them of the day of remorse, when the whole thing will be settled, while they are heedless and do not believe. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. Surely only we will inherit the earth and all that is on it. To us they will be returned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that this is the truth about Isa alayhi salam. قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ. The truth about him concerning which they are in doubt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows very well of the doubt in the hearts of some people in terms of the belief regarding Isa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is not very clearly that it is not befitting for Allah to have a son. Pure is he, because if you have a son, then obviously it means that you can't be perfectly pure, because it means you have relationships, it means you have dependencies, and you have other issues that arise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, and when He decides a thing, He simply says it to be, and it comes to be. Kun fayakun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the third juz, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَىٰ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realizes that there might be confusion, right? Or people might be confused about how this has happened. And He says, the similitude of Isa before Allah is as that of Adam alayhi salam. That He created him from dust, then He said to him, be, and he was. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again reminds us a number of times that the fact that a birth has happened in such a way, it might be something that is amazing to us, something that is difficult to understand for us, but in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not difficult. Because if we believe that Adam alayhi salam was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from nothing, then why can't we believe that Isa alayhi salam was created from only one person? And this is the point of all of these stories. So after telling all of this, after going through the story of Zakariya alayhi salam and talking about Yahya alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, so now he comes to the point where he says that this is the point, that it is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have a son. And even here and later on, we'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually starts talking about warnings and punishments. And you might think, okay, why is Allah, you know, talking about these things? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking it so seriously? And the reason why it is so serious is, let's take an example. Let's take the analogy of your employee or your student, right? So let's say you have an employee, secretary or anyone else, who's a good employee, and you know, they work very hard and you appreciate what they do, and you have a very formal, you have a business relationship, and that's it, that's the end of it. But people start putting accusations on you, right? People start putting accusations of, just think of anything that you deem as inappropriate. So whether it's inappropriate relations, whether it's you know, bribery or anything of any type of thing that we look down upon, if somebody starts putting those type of accusations upon you, obviously you will be upset, you will want to defend yourself, and you will want to set the record straight. In the same way, if a teacher has a student, right? If a teacher has a good student who works very hard, and they just have a normal teacher-student relationship, but then people start putting accusations that there is something inappropriate going on, then again, it will be very upsetting, because number one, there's nothing going on that is inappropriate. Secondly, the person in question who is innocent also gets dragged into it and gets accused about it. So we can imagine how we would feel in that situation if someone were to make a false accusation against us. So this accusation against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is very, very serious, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us as very, very seriously. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear about His power and about His qualities and about the fact that He can't have a son, or that He doesn't want a son, and that He doesn't have a son. So when this comes across, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first goes through these stories and explains, and then He also gives warnings. And the groups that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about fell into differences among themselves. So what were these differences? So some of them rejected Isa alayhi salam. So when they saw what had happened, they totally rejected what had happened, and they said that this is totally inappropriate, and na'udhu billah, God forbid, that this is an illegitimate child, and the fact that this child is able to speak is because of sorcery and because of witchcraft. So that was one group. The other group said that, oh, this is God who is speaking to this child. And another group said that this is the Son of God. So these were the differences that came about. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also points out is that when He says, warn them of the day of remorse, when the whole thing will be settled, while they are heedless and do not believe. And then following that, surely only we will inherit the earth, and all that is on it, to us they will be returned, is a reminder that we are all, that we are all accountable upon return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our deeds, for our misdeeds, and for our beliefs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making that very, very clear. Now the lessons that can be learned from these 40 verses. So these were the 40 verses that were recited by Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu in front of the king, Najashi. So the first, so there's a few lessons that come out of this that we can apply. So the first one is, as I mentioned briefly, is the recommended way of supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know that we come to the masjid for our obligatory prayers, for our communal obligations, for our Friday prayers, and for the acts of worship that should be done collectively. But when it comes to supplication, when it comes to really building a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best way to do it is to do it in private. So that's why we see that the best of the prayers, apart from the obligatory prayers, is the night prayer. So at night time, when we pray tahajjud, when no one is around, no one knows what we're doing, that is the moment when we have an exclusive audience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are alone and we can talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we pray to Him. Secondly, again I'll mention the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Zakariya alayhi salam supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first, the best recommended way is to first to talk about our weaknesses, right? To praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to talk about our weaknesses, to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Him for everything that He has given us, and talk about how incapable we are, and show humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we need. So that's the first lesson, how to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the second thing is the concern for the future generation. So Yahya alayhi salam shows concern. He's not oblivious to what is going to happen, or he's not like whatever, to whatever is going to happen afterwards, after he has passed on. And he has concern for a generation, and he's thinking about that, and he's thinking about his people, and this is something that we should also be constantly thinking about. That every single minute of our lives, the decisions that we are making, how are they going to affect our children, our families, and our future generations? And every single decision has some sort of impact, no matter how small it is. And so basically, the lesson for us is to think about that every time we make a decision. Now, every time we buy a toy, or we go to the movies, or we turn on the TV, or you know, our child goes to school, or any time of the day when we make a decision or we do something, we must be thinking, okay, is this something that is conducive to the spiritual health of my children? Is this something that is conducive to the spiritual health of my family and my extended family? What we also see is faith and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Zakariya alayhi salam knows very well that it's very unlikely, right, for him, for human beings, right? It's something that's almost impossible, right, to have a child in this situation. Yet at the same time, he shows faith and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he makes dua for him. And that's another important point, that we shouldn't just be supplicating to Allah just for the sake of supplicating. Rather, we should be supplicating to Allah with actual faith and hope. So for example, when I went for Hajj, right, and on the day of Arafah, you know, the scholars who were there, they told us, they said, when you ask for forgiveness, you know, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk about your shortcomings, talk about your misdeeds, talk about your weaknesses, ask for forgiveness. But once you've done that, once you've spent the entire day asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should come out of there with the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have forgiven you. So one is to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we've also got to have the hope and faith in Allah that whatever we are asking for, that inshallah Allah will accept it. And the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has said through a hadith that, you know, that I am as my servant's imagine me to be in terms of my qualities, right? So if we imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we believe and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if He is the most forgiving, right? And obviously we're sincere in that, so we try to do our best, but we make mistakes, and we keep seeking forgiveness from Allah with the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us, and we keep asking Him for guidance, which is what we do in Surah Al-Fatiha, right? Every time, every rak'ah that we offer, we say Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. So if we sincerely make this dua, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come through on that. What we also see in both of these stories is the value of the child and parent relationship, right? So we see the value of having children. A lot of times, you know, we have children, we have grandchildren, we don't value them as they should be valued. So here we see the value of having children, especially pious children. So on the parent side, it's to work towards that, to ensure, try as much as possible that our children are pious. And at the same time, on the child's side, to understand, and especially when we see the trouble and the pains that Maryam alayhi salam went through, is to appreciate that and to reciprocate all that effort and sacrifice that has gone into it, into that child, and reciprocate that towards the parents. Now again, from making dua quietly and secretly, and the seclusion in worship. So if as the commentators have stated, that if Maryam alayhi salam had gone to worship in seclusion, then again, as I mentioned earlier, that shows the preference of doing that when it comes to non-obligatory worship, that apart from what should be done in congregation. We also see that Maryam alayhi salam's rank is very elevated, right? For example, we're talking about her today, the surah is named after her. But the elevation in rank, in spiritual rank, comes through sacrifice, right? The elevation in spiritual rank comes through sacrifice. It's not something that just comes on its own, right? And if we really want to achieve a higher spiritual state, then we have to work upon that, and we have to sacrifice. And a lot of times, what you'll see is that people who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go through more trials and more tribulations. And this is a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testing them and bringing them closer and elevating their rank. As we saw, like I said, Maryam alayhi salam didn't ask for this. Right? She didn't ask for this. It came on her, on its own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose her for that. But because of those sacrifices, she has such an elevated rank. And when it comes to the vow of silence, right? And when we did the Ramadan workshop, we talked about Sawm, right? The word Sawm, and how Maryam alayhi salam had used Sawm, which basically means abstinence from something, not in terms of not eating or drinking, but rather in terms of speaking, right? So the vow of silence which Maryam alayhi salam took is not something that is permissible in our Sharia today. So that's not something, basically what used to happen is that not speaking was considered to be a form of worship. But in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is no longer a form of worship, and therefore a person can't have a fast in which to say, okay, I'm not going to speak, you know, for a day or two. Even though sometimes it might be good for us not to speak, but it can't be considered a form of worship. And what I found really, really interesting is, and this is what I alluded to in the beginning, is the method of explaining and refuting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken here. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, I mean, naturally we see that this is something that is very great in terms of accusations, right? To say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really wanted to, he could have just started the surah immediately by saying, right, where's that verse? In any case, that, you know, it doesn't befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have a son. So he could have just started with that right away, and the matter would be closed. And instead of having to recite 40 ayahs right in front of the king, they would have just recited one or two, and that would be the end of it, right? But if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't start off with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't start off with the story of Maryam alayhi salam, but rather he starts off with a similar story, and that of Yahya alayhi salam. So it shows us that when we have a situation that we need to address, when there is a problem or an issue or an idea that we need to refute, we don't just go gung-ho right at it, but rather there's a proper way of doing it. And that proper way is to explain it and to give examples. Right? So we get Yahya alayhi salam's example. And we see the similitudes, we see how similar it was. And then after that, the entire story of Maryam alayhi salam. And then after that, right at the end of the story, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what really needed to be said in terms of that this are these are incorrect beliefs and this is something that is very major in terms of its incorrectness. I don't know if we're gonna. Should we take a short break, maybe 5 minutes or so? Okay.